This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hi, reader. I'm Cindy Burnett. Welcome to my award-winning podcast, Thoughts from a Page, which is a member of the Evergreen Podcasts Network. On the show, I chat with authors whose books I have enjoyed about their new releases, and I give you a peek behind the curtain of the publishing industry with my Behind the Scenes series. With so many books coming out weekly, it can be hard to decide what to read, so I find the best ones and share them with you. If you're looking for a community of readers, bonus content, and a chance to read books before they hit the shelves, I hope you'll consider joining my Patreon group, which is filled with a wonderful bunch of book lovers. The link to join is in the show notes. Today, I am chatting with Denny S. Bryce and Eliza Knight about Can't We Be Friends? I had no idea that Marilyn Monroe and Ella Fitzgerald had been friends with each other, especially during a time period when that was frowned upon. I thought this was a fascinating story, and I loved learning about their connection and their relationship with each other and how they built each other up. Denny S. Bryce is an award-winning and best-selling author of historical fiction, including Wild Women and the Blues. She is also an adjunct professor in the MFA program at Drexel University. Currently, she resides in Savannah, Georgia. Eliza Knight is an award-winning and USA Today best-selling author. Her love of history began as a young girl when she traipsed the halls of Versailles. She is the creator of the popular historical blog History Undressed. She lives in Maryland with her husband, three daughters, two dogs, and a turtle. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, Eliza and Denny. How are you all?
I'm fine. This is Denny speaking, and it's fabulous to be here with you.
I'm also doing good. I'm Eliza. I'm glad to be back on your show.
I know. I'm so glad you two are here, and I really enjoyed Can't We Be Friends? I did not know that Marilyn Monroe and Ella Fitzgerald had been friends, so it was really great to read their story, and I have so many questions.
Yay for questions.
Thank you so much for reading and enjoying the story.
Absolutely. So I start out with just asking you to give me a quick synopsis of Can't We Be Friends for those that haven't read it yet. So would one of you like to do that?
Well, I can start and Eliza can certainly jump in, but our quest began in 2019. Eliza and I used to get together once a month for just write-ins when I lived in the DMV or the back near Washington, D.C., and we stumbled upon a story about the Macombo Club that led us to a story about Ella Fitzgerald and Marilyn Monroe doing something for her to get her into a club on the Strip. And then from there, we just fell into this beautiful, lovely rabbit hole. And I kind of think that Eliza can take it from there.
Yeah. So one of the things we found, and it really shocked us, was this advertisement in Jet magazine that was basically announcing that Ella Fitzgerald and Marilyn Monroe had signed a record deal with RCA to do a Friends album. And we both kind of just like open mouth stared at each other thinking they were going to do a Friends album. What in the world? ? So that led us to digging even further because for one thing, that album never happened. And so we wanted to know why, but also we wanted to know how these two women had gotten together. And they were clearly friends and doing this album that they had named Friends. And additionally, if you go on YouTube or Spotify or Pandora or wherever you want to listen to music, you'll hear recordings of them both singing songs that are the same track. So there's clearly some correlation between that and the record possibly. But that was one of the biggest things that led us to think, wow, there really was like a deep friendship here.
And then there was also those candid photographs that we ran across online of them at a party. There's one that people see all the time, but there's another one that really spoke to Eliza and myself because they didn't look posed. They weren't perfect in the photo. They were just two women sitting back chatting. That was cool. It was very candid.
Yeah, that was really exciting to see like a more like natural friendship type photo than what you would see in a magazine.
And so you two were already friends and you begin to think, okay, this could be a really fun story to write. How did you get from that to actually deciding to write the book?
Well, we are sort of like go-getters and we wouldn't let go of this story. So in talking to our agents, our respective agents, we don't have the same agent. We just had to tell the story. So we kept sort of nudging our agents, hey, we have this story. Don't forget that we're really wanting to do this. And then the opportunity didn't really come. We just decided to start writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take it from there.
Well, we just, you know, over a couple of years from about 2019 to 2001 or 2021, we didn't go back in time. We just kind of like kept having conversations about it. And we even put together some spreadsheets where we were like kind of playing around with chapter ideas and scenes we might want to do. Whenever one of us wasn't working on another project, we might start some research and then share those links or articles or pictures with each other just to kind of keep each other going and the excitement going. And after a couple of years, we were like, you know what? Let's just do this. And so we started writing chapters and then we presented those chapters and a detailed synopsis and a fun little pitch to our agents. And we were like, hey, guess what? Here it is. And actually, they were very excited about it at that point. I think seeing it on the page really helped, and seeing the themes about friendship and the struggles the two women shared come to life really sparked a lot of interest.
And how did you approach it with two different agents? Who's handling this one?
Well, they worked together, but there had to be a lead agent. And I think that's how, I think different agents who are doing co-authored works when both authors are not in their agency, they design their own approach. And that's what my agent at the time did, along with Eliza's agent, Kevin Lyon. So in terms of the initial, what you might call the lead agent, that was Kevin, but she and my agent always were in conversation. I think agents are more comfortable talking about that, know how they do it more so than I do, but they did a good job.
Yeah, they really did.
And I do think that these writing duos are becoming more and more popular.
I agree. I think it's fun, too, to get to share a project with a friend. And, you know, there's all these different exciting parts about writing and also the publication process where you find out a piece of good news or you find some really cool tidbit that you're immersed in that world and you could share that with somebody else. And they might be like, oh, wow, cool. But when you have a partner who's also immersed in that world, then it's all the screaming, all the cheering. You know, we were on the phone several times a week, just like, oh my gosh, I found this. Or oh, do you think about this? Oh my gosh, this. So
yeah,
it was just a really fun process. And I think it makes it more fun in the way that you get to share it and someone actually can like totally geek out with you, knowing exactly what you're saying versus just being like a supportive friend or family member.
Absolutely. And then it was my first experience in a co-authored project. And Eliza, who has a little bit more experience than me, about 50 books more, she had an understanding of the approaches in terms of the more production. How are we going to do this? And how are we going to do that? She's been down that road before. It was great for me to just say, okay, so how are we going to work this? Or Google Docs will do this for us, but how about this? So it was a very comfortable process for me as an author who was working on her third book with someone who had more experience in terms of the number of books she's written and the number of co-authored projects she's worked on. So that was a good thing.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun. Mm-hmm. And Denny was such a great partner to work with too, because she also has a very familiar grasp with some editing processes that I am just sort of delving into. So I think we brought to the table different talents that really balanced and built up on each other.
Well, and you're leading me into my next question, which is, how did you approach writing together? Like the day-to-day aspects of writing, how did that work?
In the earliest, I think we've already mentioned how much outlining and story research. We initially started looking at the time period, women, black or white, in the 1950s, post-World War II. What was the atmosphere? What was the environment? What was society's preconceptions or conceptions about so many things going on? And then you also have, it's almost that gap in the civil rights movement where some things were happening very aggressively, Brown versus the Board of Education, for example, but also it still wasn't a time for changes at the Supreme Court level, for example. So we looked at the historical information on where American society was as it looked at the African-American community, as well as looking at women in general. And it was very much an atmosphere and an environment that these two women had to live in, and it wasn't on their side. So that got us started in developing our outline, keeping with their friendship and the facts of their friendship and their careers in the forefront. We also knew where we were in history.
Right. And we set up some spreadsheets that we were able to take all of that historical timeline, the friendship timeline, the women's personal and career timelines, and kind of put those in different columns, and then work on what kind of scenes we wanted to do and how we could theme each scene. So each of the scenes that we wrote had a, you know, corresponding theme in both women for whatever that might have been. And so that was the fun part, was trying to match those up. What we ended up doing was each of us took a point of view so that the characters' voices would sound not the same. If you're sharing a voice, then you're not having like totally different voices for each character. So that was one thing we did. And we basically did like alternating chapters. So like Denny might write a chapter and then send it to me and I would read through and then I would write a chapter, so that they were going in an order that made sense and stayed true to the timelines that we had set up.
Yeah, I really like what Eliza just mentioned about consistency and themes, because if we had a theme for a chapter, that theme, regardless of what was happening in an Eliza's life, Ella's life, you know I do that, Ella's life, too many E's in the world, or Marilyn's life, we were braiding themes, and that I really feel have made the work cohesive and seamless as you read through it. At least that's some of the early feedback we're getting, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, I agree. And then another fun thing that we were able to do is, in a lot of the scenes and chapters, you have the two women together having conversations. And so we would kind of write those together. We would get on a Google Doc and, you know, have the scene there that we wanted. And then for any of like the dialogue sections, we would go back and forth just to make the voice authentic for each character. And that was really fun to do as well.
We also made an early decision about our approach to tense and the story world that we were creating. So for example, Ella's chapters are in first person, while Marilyn's chapters are in third person. That was a decision that we discussed and really wanted to make sure we were giving readers a certain approach to the story.
Well, and you talk about this in your author's note, and Eliza, you just referenced it, but creating dialogue and filling in the gaps. Obviously, you could do research. There was more on Marilyn Monroe than Ella Fitzgerald, you indicated in your author's notes. So how did you fill in when there wasn't information, and how did you decide how to handle that?
Well, you mentioned that there wasn't a lot about Ella, but she has many, many, many albums, but she also has many live albums, and I listened to them all. And I really listened more than once to the live albums because of the banter, the in-between songs, or just her approach to communicating with audiences. And that helped me pick up on her speech pattern, if you will, or how she would approach situations. Because when you're the main singer on a stage with the band behind you, you are in control of that space. And she was great in live performances. So that was one thing that helped me. In addition to her interviews later in life, and there are a number of them on YouTube where she talks about what she was going through in the 50s and her longing for family and certain things. So I was able to pick up some what I felt were very authentic moments that I could turn into dialogue.
And speaking of interviews that were recorded, one of the interviews that we listened to that really shed some light on the fact that they were friends was an interview that Marilyn was doing. And someone's asking her about, you know, people that are in her life. And one of her answers is that Ella Fitzgerald is one of her very favorite people.
I love that. And it had to be a little difficult with Marilyn Monroe because she just has such a sad life. And Ella maybe too. But I just feel like Marilyn's one of those people that everybody recognizes and immediately knows what a hard life she had.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that really brought the two women together was that they did have similar backgrounds. They were both orphans. They both came from hard times, and they were women in a society that didn't necessarily want women to get ahead. And so they brought those shared backgrounds and the shared drive to do something different, to give women empowerment. And I think that's one of the things that they really connected on. And she did have a very sad life, obviously, and a sad end. But I think she also had some really wonderful and happy moments. And, you know, when you look through the pictures of her and the picture, especially the one that we love of her and Ella, there's genuine joy there. So I think even though she was, you know, dealing with a lot of mental issues and drug abuse, I think she also genuinely had some happy moments.
We also made an early decision, Eliza and myself, that we were not going to go down the woe is me, she's just a dumb blonde path. We approached Marilyn as a smart woman who had an addiction. And she was an unbelievable reader. She studied. I mean, the whole thing with the Actor's Studio. She was a perfectionist. Her goal was to be the best. And she worked hard. And we emphasized that, and especially, and Eliza and I, well, Eliza talked about this a lot. She didn't want to just make her sad.
And that makes sense because, one, it's been done a lot. And two, that's depressing to read about. And it's, you know, it seems like they had a great friendship. So there was happiness there.
Yeah.
Well, what about when you all didn't agree on something? How did you handle that?
What are you talking about? We agreed on everything.
I'm sure you did.
In the writing phase, honestly, I don't think we had disagreements. It was mostly, if there was a problem, it was post. And that was just a matter of other influences that had played a part in the process. And we weren't always sure where we stood in that capacity. So that might have caused us to have a couple of conversations. But I never felt that we weren't on the same page as we were writing the story.
Yeah, I agree with that. In the end, we really wanted to make sure that we brought a book out that emphasized not just their relationship and their friendship, but women's friendships overall. And we wanted this to be a book that women could read and understand and maybe, you know, be like, I need to go call my best friend. Because that's the thing at the end of the day, is that we all kind of need these connections and women that we can lean on and people that will help build us up. And so I think, you know, from beginning to end, and even now, we're really happy with how that turned out.
Because I always feel like that can be a little tricky. I do think that the message of the importance of female friendships is one of those that will stay with everybody. And it did make me want to reach out to my close friends and be like, I value you and I'm so happy I have you.
I love that.
Yes. Don't you know
that you're a grown-up? I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, genxgrownup.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it.
Right.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.
What surprised the two of you the most when you were writing this one?
I will say that two things surprised me. First of all, Eliza writes faster than me. And so, I'm sitting there like, I got to catch up. I got to go faster. The other surprise in terms of story itself was that after a while, I felt at least we were in such a rhythm in understanding how women fuel their friendships that we came up with some scenes that were just so much fun to write. And that was joyful. I mean, I am a baby writer in the sense that I'm five books in. And as I mentioned before, Eliza has written many books. So I haven't had all of those. You know, usually I'm a little nervous about the writing process. But this one, it just flowed. In fact, it flowed so much that this book could have been a little longer, but but it's not.
Yes, our editor, when we first turned this book in, told us we need to trim it by a not insignificant number of pages. It kind of put me in tears, but they were, you know, I think cutting the pages really made the book better. But at the same time, there are scenes that we loved and wanted to be able to share. So we might be able to share those at a later date, like maybe with book clubs or something like that. But
Yeah.
I think the thing that surprised me the most is that, you know, we saw all these initial things as we were doing our research about the two women that pointed to the fact that they were friends. But I think the thing that surprised us the most when we were actually, you know, deeper into the writing process and trying to come up with the timelines of when they might be in the same places or things like that was how often they were in the same city, but not doing anything together or that the public knows about. You know, it wasn't recorded. And that just lends the fact that they were traveling in the same areas at the same time and possibly meeting up because, you know, at that time, it wasn't really a popular thing for the two of them to be friends. And it's something that's obviously been kept from you know, history, people like, oh, they were friends, you know, she helped her with this, she helped her with that. But I don't think people know about how deeply this friendship actually went, because it was just kept out of the public eye.
And the public eye was very different, not only because of the racial implications, but because there was no social media. Right now, we are so accustomed to every moment being recorded of every celebrity and or influencer on the planet. And back then, it was Walter Winchell, and it was Jet Magazine, and it was a weekly, and Walter Winchell was someplace in New York or California with his column that was syndicated. So newspapers were the source of what was happening with people, and certainly a friendship between a Black woman and a white woman, the queen of jazz, the queen of filmdom at the time, it wasn't going to be news.
Or if it was news, it wasn't positive news.
Exactly.
Well, and I think there's kind of two points to that. One, as in touch as we all are with each other right now, it's very easy for me to know if I'm in the same place as a friend. But then they might not necessarily have known they were in the same city, depending on what they were doing, if it was in the news or not. But then also, you're right, based on who they were, they might have been able to have a friendship and not necessarily have a lot of people recording that.
Right. There are also telephones. People, you know, they which could chat on the telephone. And some of the, a true fan of music was Marilyn Monroe and jazz music. So if you're in New York in the 1950s, on Friday night after you get done with your spot thing at the Actor's Studio, you're going to a club. You're going to listen to music. And not all of that is paparazzi like we know today, every step of the way. And the same thing, Ella was always working wherever she could be, except for a certain period in her life where some health issues got in the way. We felt very confident about the moments that we fictionalized were still inspired by the times and the women and where they were in the world.
Absolutely. And of course, there were telephones. But I guess my thought is, knowing from when I was younger and we didn't have all this connectivity, there would be times where you could be the same place as somebody else and you would not have known it, just because everything wasn't covered like it is now. And you're not in contact with everybody. You're not posting on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, where people are like, oh, we're all headed to New York the same weekend. This is so fun. You just would not have had that necessarily then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about your cover. I love this cover.
Thank you.
It is actually inspired by one of the photos of Ella and Marilyn. And the folks at William Morrow took that photograph and just took from it to create the cover and added the color and did some things to it. And we're happy with it, too.
Did they have an issue getting rights to the photograph, or was that pretty straightforward?
I know they did get the rights because they let us know. So that was something they were able to get done. I did not ask them any further about the business of rights when it came to that photo. That was their choice.
I know that can be a big issue. That's why I was just curious if it was pretty straightforward or if it took them a while, but it definitely makes the book. And let's talk about the title. How did you all decide on that title?
I'll let Eliza start that conversation. I'll jump in later.
We had a number of titles. I love this title for a certain reason, but our first title, I actually really loved the best, and that was They Were Friends. And I love that one because it's basically a statement and just putting it right out there. They were friends. Here, read their friendship. After that, our publisher decided that that wasn't going to work. So we had, I don't know how many between They Were Friends and Can't We Be Friends, but in the end, we started looking through song titles because we thought, you know what? The parts are labeled by, the chapters are labeled by songs, the parts are labeled by different music. And so maybe the title of our book should be a song. And one of the songs that Ella sang, and obviously it's about a man, is Can't We Be Friends? And so we thought, you know what? That's actually really good because, you know, Marilyn reaches out to her wanting to start a friendship. And in the end, they do form this really good friendship. And I think that it's, you know, a question between the two of them, can't we be friends? But also kind of a rhetorical question to society. Like, can't we be friends? Like, why can't they be friends, guys?
That was how I took it. The second one, like, can't they be friends? Is that an issue for people kind of thing?
That's really, I'm glad to hear that that was a takeaway you had, Cindy, because it had multiple layers. You know, it's according to how you looked at it as an individual. It's the takeaway that I like the most, because originally we had a question mark at the end, and then we all agreed as a team that take that out and let whatever the reader brings to it be the way it is for them. Because once you finish a book and it's out in the world, I'm in the school of it doesn't belong to me anymore. It really belongs to the people who read it and how they take in the story.
I was curious about the question mark.
Oh, why it wasn't there?
Yes.
Deliberately taking it away. Because the song has a question mark, Can't We Be Friends? And the lyrics, it's a song that Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong did together. And it just didn't have the right beat. Or, you know, Eliza and I talked about it, and we went back and said, take that question mark off. Because we don't want it to sound like it's, you know, was a problematic friendship.
Makes sense. Well, before we wrap up, I would love to hear what both of you all have read that you recommend. Eliza, do you want to start?
Sure. I am actually currently reading a book that was written by two friends of ours. It's called The Phoenix Crown, written by Kate Quinn and Janie Chang. And it's a really good book. So I would recommend that.
And I... I recently participated in a book festival here in Savannah and read three books that I absolutely adore. Greg Hurwitz's Lone Wolf. I'd never read. It's the Orphidex series that he does. And it doesn't matter where you step into this series. It's fabulous. The Endless Vessel by Charles Soule. He's a sci-fi comic book writer. He's an amazing writer. This story is amazing. And then one of my favorites, S.A. Cosby, All the Sinners Bleed. Now, these are definitely thriller mysteries, high adventure, crime fiction, and sci-fi. So a little bit different from something I would routinely read.
I love the Greg Hurwitz series. And that's interesting to hear that you think you can leap in wherever. That's good to know.
Yeah.
It's so much fun and very different.
Very different. Fun reading.
Absolutely. Well, Denny and Eliza, thank you so much for joining me today. I thoroughly enjoyed your book, and I appreciate your taking the time to come on my show.
Thank you so much. This was a great interview. I really enjoyed it, and I appreciate you reading and sharing our book with your listeners.
Yes, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Science, science, science! Science, science! Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes! Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I would love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook, where you can find me at Thoughts From A Page. If you enjoy the show, please consider joining my Patreon group to access bonus content and support the podcast. If you have a moment to rate the show, or subscribe to it wherever you listen to your podcasts. I would really appreciate it. It makes a big difference. And please tell all of your friends about Thoughts from a Page. Word of mouth does wonders to help the show grow. The book discussed in this episode can be purchased at my bookshop storefront, and the link is in the show notes. I hope you'll tune in next time.
Hi there. I'm Heather Drago.
And I'm Sarah Saunders.
We host the podcast, That's a Hard No, about saying no and setting boundaries.
So you can become that true and empowered you that this world needs. Saying no isn't just okay.
It's the key to living an authentic, fulfilling life.
I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor. So while this podcast is in no way a replacement for one-on-one therapy, I suppose I know what I'm talking about.
I'd say so. We talk about learning to say no and set healthy boundaries and how it impacts mental health, physical health, relationships, parenthood, and more.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and visit our website, hardnopodcast.com.
We're here to help you find your no and say it unapologetically.
That's a hard no.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not, it's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.